Father, we thank you for this evening, Lord. We thank you again just for your mercy and your grace every day in our lives, God. We know your word says your mercies are new every morning, Lord. We thank you for the freedoms you've given us. We thank you for this gathering at the church, Lord. And we just want to lift up Chris and Mary, Lord, just for healing, for continue to just have them strengthen their bodies, their minds, for them to bounce back in full recovery, God, as the season is here, sickness and all kinds of stuff, Lord, and COVID and all that. So we pray, Lord, that you heal them, strengthen them, God, and that it's just a quick recovery, Lord. And we know you're good, Lord. We know you're doing a good work, God. And Lord, we just thank you for all that you're doing. We thank you in advance for all that you're already going to do, Lord. So we come in by faith and prayer, Lord. And so we just pray tonight, God, just be with us. Any kind of sickness going around or anything, we pray for healing and strength, everybody, everyone's friends and family represented here, Lord, and just your church, God. So we thank you for your love, and we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. So we're actually going to be talking about the Holy Spirit, and we're going to be in John chapter 14 this evening, and taking a look and just talking about who the Holy Spirit is, right? It's interesting because the Holy Spirit is one of the most either neglected parts of the Godhead or the most abused. There's kind of no middle ground when it comes to the Holy Spirit, right? I'm sure a lot of us have experienced kind of that stuff. You know, see, either the Holy Spirit is literally never mentioned in any kind of teaching or anything, or he's used for some kind of a feeling or some sort of a, you know, we're floating around, someone that floats around and an energy force that maybe shoots out of the palm of certain preacher's hands or this blazer. In a lot of the 80s and 90s, I don't know if you've seen this, but maybe I'm a lot of the 80s and 90s, the televangelists, where it's like, the slain in the spirit, they're getting pushed down. He takes the blazer off, and he's whipping it around, and everyone's falling around, and he's shooting the spirit out of his hand. So either we've seen the Holy Spirit be shot out of the hands of preachers on TV, or we see the Holy Spirit kind of no one really talks about. You know what I mean? At least that's been my experience from learning about the Holy Spirit, first becoming a Christian and stuff. And it's been pretty interesting to see that. But we're not going to do that. We're going to talk about the Holy Spirit as the Bible teaches us, right? The real Holy Spirit of the Scriptures. That's what we're going to be talking about. Talking about who he is, what it means that he lives within us, the Holy Spirit within us as believers. Things that we might have heard a lot. And of course, the great thing about the Christian faith and the Word is that if you're a new believer, if you've been a believer forever, this is all nourishment and food for the soul, right? And so we love to just recap on certain things. So the Holy Spirit is the third person of the Trinity, Father, Son, Holy Spirit. As we know, the Bible is explicit in many areas regarding this, but here's a good one. So here's actually a good one. 1 John chapter 5, verse 7, it'll be up here. It says, "For there are three that bear witness in heaven. It's the Father, the Word, which is Christ, and the Holy Spirit, and these three are one." It's a really great scripture that kind of captures Father, Son, Holy Spirit in one. The Holy Spirit's fully God. He's not a force. He's not an energy, but he's a divine person, right, who thinks, he feels, he acts according to the will of God. And a simple way to frame it would be, I like this, I heard this somewhere and I can't remember where, but the Father is God above us. We know that. Heavenly Father, the Father is God above us, the Son is God with us, and the Holy Spirit is God within us. And so it's a kind of a simple way to explain the Trinity in our lives, right? He's the very presence, the Holy Spirit is the very presence of God dwelling in every believer, guiding, comforting, convicting, and empowering us to live for Christ each day. And that's the beautiful thing about him, right? So we're going to be taking a look at John 14, verses 12 through 17. But we're going to focus on this evening, we're going to focus on verse 16 and 17. So in John 14, Jesus, he's telling his disciples that those who believe in him will do even greater works. And so he's going to go to the Father. He says he's going to the Father, and he promises that the Father will send another helper, which I really love the name, the helper, as the Holy Spirit, the helper, the Spirit of truth, to be with us forever, right? To be with them forever. He's going to send the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit is literally Jesus' continued presence in the lives of believers, which I think we need that, right? Teaching us, the Holy Spirit's comforting us, giving us power to carry out his mission on earth, That's why we're here, you know, in every stage of our faith. So yeah, John 14, starting in verse 12, it says, "Most assuredly I say to you," and this is Jesus, "he who believes in me, the works that I do, he will do also, and greater works than these he will do, because I go to my Father. And whatever you ask in my name, that I will do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. If you ask anything in my name, I will do it." And in verse 15, "If you love me, keep my commandments, and I will pray the Father, and he will give you another helper, that he may abide with you forever. The Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it neither sees him nor knows him, but you know him, for he dwells with you and will be in you." He ends it right there. Verse 18 says, "I will not leave you orphans, I will come to you." So, Father, we thank you, God, for your word. As we get into the scripture here, Lord, we just pray that you illuminate your word with your Holy Spirit as we are speaking of your Holy Spirit, Lord. And we just pray that whatever it is you want us to learn tonight out of the word, you teach us and help us as we strengthen each other tonight in our faith every day, God. We just pray for your Holy Spirit to be here and strengthen us, renew us, encourage us in your word this evening. In Jesus' name, amen. Jesus never meant for any of us to walk this life alone. And that's the beautiful thing about our faith. We were never meant to be alone, single, solo, walking around. We were always meant for relationship and with him, you know. That's why he said it's better that I leave so I can send that helper, the comfort of the Holy Spirit to be with you and to guide you, right? And he didn't just forgive your sins and leave you to figure it out, which would have been great if you forgave our sins and that was it. I would be grateful for that. But he didn't just do that. He gave you the greatest gift of all, his own Holy Spirit living inside of you as a Christian. And I can't stress that enough. That we have the Holy Spirit within us, right? So look at verse 16 when Jesus said, "I will give you another helper." That word helper means someone who comes alongside to help, to comfort, strengthen, to guide us, all these things. And we all know there are things in the Christian life we need help with, right? Amen? and that's what the Holy Spirit is, the helper, the comforter to come and help us in these things, right? Holy Spirit is not an energy, as we all know, you know. I mean, he's not a force and an energy. He's a real person, God himself dwelling with his people and within his people. Without the Holy Spirit, Christianity becomes just a list of laws and rules and things to do, right? But with the Holy Spirit, Christianity becomes a relationship, and it's connected. There's a connection there. And he's the breath in our lungs, right? He's literally the peace in our storms and the strength that carries you through when you feel like quitting, yeah? When you feel like giving up or tapping out. The Holy Spirit's there to comfort us through all things in life. And today we're going to be talking about the Holy Spirit within, how the Holy Spirit empowers. That's a really powerful word. He empowers us. He teaches, transforms us to live the Christian life. So it's not just we learned about Jesus in Sunday school. We heard the gospel. I've been hearing about Jesus for 20-something plus, 30-something years. No, it's a daily life that we're following him, and he's very alive today, and he's not done with any of us, right? So he teaches us. He empowers us. He's transforming our lives, transforming your life today. So look at verse 16 again. I love the word abide here when he says, "And I will pray the Father, he will give you another helper, that he may abide with you forever." That is just that one sentence. He's going to abide, the Holy Spirit, he's going to abide with you forever. That means the Holy Spirit isn't seasonal. He's not just, that was a good season, I'm done, right? He's not just visiting. He's not going to leave. He stays. The Holy Spirit stays with us forever. Holy is a word that we hear, right? People say, "Oh, holy! You guys are holy rollers. Or you guys are holy this and holy." Holy simply means it means to be set apart, pure, sacred, spirit. What is that word, spirit? It means breath or life. So the invisible presence and power of God. So we have the Holy Spirit, right? He's God's pure presence and power working personally in your life. Because God is a personal God. And we always, sometimes, it's so hard to think, it's easy to think abstract. God's out there, we're here. No, God's personal and he's with us and within us, right? So the Holy Spirit is God's pure presence, power, working personally in your life. And just think about that. How amazing is that? God works in our lives every second of the day. Ever since we call on his name, he's empowered us, he fills us. Even the times we don't feel it, he's right there, you know, with us, encouraging us and building us up, right? He's not in it, he's not a mood that fades away when the worship ends, right? He's a he, God's own presence dwelling in every believer. And I always like to show the contrast between the first century ancient world with our modern era today, right? In the 21st century, how the commonality of those worlds are not too far apart, right? We're kind of the same. That's a miracle. The gift of the Holy Spirit to live within us is for us today. It is for us. It's amazing. The Father sent Jesus to save us. Jesus returned to heaven to intercede for us. And the Holy Spirit came to live inside us. And that's it. This is the life that we currently live as Christians here on earth. And it's great. Just there's so much there. But he comforts us when we're hurting. And we've all experienced that. He convicts us when we're kind of drifting away from him. The Lord is he's known to call us back when we start kind of lightly jogging away from his plans for our lives. He strengthens us when we're weak. How many times have we been in situations, or you've been in a situation where you needed the Lord's strength and he came through? And he does, right? He leads us when we're confused. We don't know what's going on. We're confused. We need clarity. He brings that clarity. That's who he is, the personal presence of God, here to help, here to guide. And so when you gave your heart to Jesus, you didn't just receive the forgiveness of sins, which is great. You received the Holy Spirit himself within us. 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 19 to 20 says, "Or do you not know that your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit who is in you, whom you have from God, and you are now your own? For you were bought at a price. Therefore, glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's." That means your body's no longer common ground. It's holy ground, right? The Holy Spirit's within us, are the temples of God and the Holy Spirit. So everywhere you go, God's Spirit is with you, right? Everywhere you go, he's with you. Now, that could definitely be terrifying depending on where you like to go. But, you know, I try not to think that the Holy Spirit is inside of me when I'm sitting there eating grapes, wearing sweatpants, playing NHL hockey video games. Just to get you a peek into the world of, I guess that's what I do sometimes. He's probably sitting there thinking, I really think about this. I can't think too hard about this or too long, but the Holy Spirit's probably sitting there thinking, really, this is it, huh? The temple of God, I dwell. This is the kingdom work. I'm sitting there with sweatpants on. It's unbelievable. It's ridiculous. But none of that's bad, right? We got to relax. We got to have, you know, we can't be serving God 24/7, just, you know, on fire, the zeal at level 100. So without any type of relaxing and rest, we need rest, right? Jesus went into the desert. He took naps. He fell asleep. He needed to get away. He needed to take some time. So I think we get the pass to relax at times, right? But yeah, that's what it is. And there might be genuine times where the Holy Spirit does convict you or nudge you in a certain direction, you know, or he might prompt something on your heart and be like, convict you to do something, maybe to drop something or to stop doing something. And that's what he does, right? But let's define a few things he does, which is what us resuming into who the Holy Spirit is. The Holy Spirit convicts us. Right? So the word convict, we hear that a lot as Christians, it means to make you aware of sin and point you back to truth. It's conviction. This is from the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit doesn't condemn. He doesn't condemn you. He corrects you with love, right? Condemnation is you're terrible. You're not even a Christian. You've been a Christian for 1,000 years and you still look like this. That's the devil. Conviction is, hey, you know what you're doing is not really going to help. It's actually bringing death. Come closer to me. Go this way. Turn right. Don't turn left. That's what conviction is. The Holy Spirit guides us, right? Guiding meaning to to lead you step by step into what's right. Sometimes that guidance, it comes as a quiet little nudge. Sometimes it's a still voice that says, you know, that little small whispering voice of the Holy Spirit, don't go there, you know, or reach out to this person. We'll get prompted, oh, you should call this person. That the Holy Spirit, you know, he'll do those things. The Holy Spirit comforts us. We talk a lot about comfort, but he's the helper, the comforter. Comfort means to bring peace in the middle of the pain, and he comforts us in hard times, right? So when no one else can calm you, the Spirit whispers, you're not alone, because we weren't created to be alone. We were created to be with God in communion, relation with him, right? And think about that. That's amazing, right? Where his creation, he could have created us and said, hey, this is it. You got, I'm creating you, and do your thing. Get out there and do, you know, I made the earth. You have a good life. Your sins are washed away. You're not going to hell. But he said, no, I want communion and relationship with you. And so that's why we have the Holy Spirit here, right? And here's another thing too. The Holy Spirit empowers us. And that word empower, it means to give you strength beyond your natural ability. The Holy Spirit does that. So he convicts us. He guides us. He comforts us, he empowers us as Christians in our daily lives. Just that alone is great. Romans chapter 8, verse 11 says this, says, but if the Spirit of him who raised Jesus from the dead, and this is the thing, the Holy Spirit that's within us, you know, to raising God from the, to raise Jesus from the dead is still in us. That's what this Romans 8 is really wild, Romans 8, 11. But if the Spirit of him who raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you, he who raised Christ from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies through his Spirit who dwells in you. So the Holy Spirit dwells in us. The same Spirit in Christ who raised him from the dead is the same Spirit that lives in us. That's the same Spirit. Think about that. The resurrection, right? Power in everyday believers. That's what we have that same Spirit, and it's amazing. And remember, look back at our primary text, John chapter 14, verse 16 through 17. I mean, those two verses alone, and I will pray, verse 16, the Father, he will give you another helper, a comforter, he may abide with you forever. The Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it neither sees him nor knows him, but you know him, for he dwells within you and will be in you. I mean, how amazing is that, being God's kids? And he knows us. The Spirit's in us. We know who he is. And I love that in verse 17, that the Spirit of truth whom the world cannot receive because it doesn't see him or know him, but you know him because he's in us. Because the Spirit dwells in us who put our faith and trust in Christ. Pretty amazing. So again, if you ever feel like saying, I can't do this Christian life, remember God never asked you to do it. He never asked any of us to do it alone, right? He gave you a Spirit to live through you. And not only that, he's conforming us into the image of Christ in his character. Being conformed to the image of Christ by the Holy Spirit into his character, what does that look like? I really like this. When I first became a Christian, I read a book that was really, really good, and I really recommend it. It's from his book, Living Water, The Power of the Holy Spirit in Your Life. Pastor Chuck Smith, he wrote this. He said, when we are born again, our spirits are moved to the dominant position, and the Holy Spirit takes control. He helps us to conform to the image of Christ. And that's what he does. He's forming us every day into the image of Christ. What does that look like for us as Christians in our walk, in our faith? He's conforming us into the image of Christ, so therefore he must produce something in us. If we're being, what is that? We hear that a lot. Holy Spirit's conforming me into Christ's image. He's producing something. So what does that produce? And that's what we're looking at. So now that the Holy Spirit dwells within us, what does he produce in us? And this is the beautiful thing. The Holy Spirit produces fruit. The Bible tells us, yes, the Holy Spirit produces fruit. Galatians chapter 5, verse 22 and 23 says, but the fruit of the Spirit is love, it's joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. So that word fruit means that natural result of life and growth. Galatians 5, verse 22 and 23. So when you walk with the Spirit, these qualities begin to grow in your heart. These are the things that grow in our heart as we walk in the Spirit. And look, these are things that the Holy Spirit produces in us when we abide in Him, when we walk with Christ in our daily lives. This is this kind of stuff we see, that love, He produces love, and that's choosing to care for people even when it costs us. That's real love, you know, and that's the Spirit love that He produces. Joy, that's a deep gladness that doesn't depend on circumstances, so we can be filled with the joy of the Holy Spirit even if life is going crazy. There's a joy there that even our circumstances are kind of wild. There is an unexplainable joy. That's a fruit of the Holy Spirit. Peace is another. Jesus is the Prince of Peace, but the Holy Spirit gives us that inner calm when everything's kind of going crazy. There's that peace and that joy. Can't even explain it. Those are fruits of the Holy Spirit. Patience, that ability to wait and trust God's timing, which is probably the hardest fruit. I can speak for myself on that one. Kindness, that's another fruit that He produces, treating others with gentleness instead of harshness. Goodness, He produces, doing what's right even when no one's watching. Faithfulness is another fruit of the Spirit, staying steady when everything's fallen away. Self-control, and that's mastering your desires, right, instead of being mastered by them. That's a lot of things. What is the fruit of the Spirit? Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, self-control, right? You might be thinking, oh, well, I mean, I'm not perfect in those areas, so does that mean I'm not a good Christian? I've heard people, this might not be a good example, but people in my past have said, I thought you were a Christian. And I said, dang. Like, at first I used to get offended, but then I used to think, wait, maybe there's some, like, what am I doing that they said I thought you were a Christian? But again, we need the fruit of the Spirit, right? Yeah, I'm not perfect in the areas. No one's perfect in these areas, right? Literally, we need help. We need Jesus Christ. That's why it's called fruit. It's not instant success. Because fruit, this is not, you know, maybe not a lot of people say this, or I don't hear this. You know, fruit takes time to grow. Some things that actually, growth is very interesting, because some things that grow rapidly fast, it's not a sign of health necessarily. Cancer grows fast. Weeds grow fast. Does that mean they're healthy? You know what I mean? So slow growth, fruit, you know, and that's healthy. So there's something to say about that. Fruit takes time to grow. So if you don't have all the fruits of the Spirit and you're just walking in the joy in Christ and all these things, that's all right. Fruit takes time to grow. So we have to submit. We have to surrender to the Lordship of Christ and allow the Holy Spirit to do what He will through our lives, in our lives, and through our lives. It's submission to Christ and to who He is. I surrender, God. That's what it is. But that takes a response from us as Christians, right? Here's a simple picture. We all have muscles in our bodies, but if we're not working the muscles out, they're not going to get stronger. But we still have the muscle. It's just not strong, right? We stay weak. And as Christians, we have the Holy Spirit within us, but unless we practice obedience and prayer and faith, we won't grow strong in the things of the Spirit. We will just have the Holy Spirit in us, and we won't have, there's no strength there, there's no walking, but we need to surrender to the Lordship of Christ, surrender to Him. God, I need You every day. Help me, guide me. We need the obedience, we need prayer. These are working things out in the Spirit. So we can have weak muscles, but we can have the Holy Spirit in us. We want to work that out so we grow in our faith, right? Constantly growing, never getting lazy when it comes to intimacy with God. And just like anything else, right, the more you do it, the better it is, right? That's just like anything else. So the more you walk with Christ, the more you'll start seeing the fruit of the Holy Spirit showing up, even places you never thought possible. Don't get me wrong, we don't work for our salvation. That's one thing that, as we talk about the Holy Spirit, who He is and in our lives and producing fruit in us and character and all that, this is something we got to get clear. Not that we here as a church need to get it clear, but it's just something that's always kind of attacked. We don't work for our salvation. We are saved by grace alone, as hard as that is to imagine. What do I have to do, Lord? We got to make that clear, right? Charles Spurgeon, he was a 19th century English preacher, as we know him, a lot of us here know about him. The Prince of Preachers was his name. They called him, right, for his, he had powerful scripture-centered sermons, and that's what he was really known for. He said this about the Holy Spirit. He said, "The great King, immortal, invisible, the divine person called the Holy Spirit. It is he who stimulates the soul, or else it would lie dead forever. He, from first to last, Holy Spirit, is the great worker of salvation in us. Just as Jesus Christ was the author of salvation for us." I thought that was a really powerful thing that Spurgeon said about the Holy Spirit in our lives and when it comes to salvation, right? Now, we can't talk about the Holy Spirit without bringing this up. And I really, you know, when I was looking at the Holy Spirit and we were doing kind of just the study, more studies on who he is, we got to bring this up. In the 16th century, the Protestant Reformation happened, right? That's believers that broke away from the Catholic Church because they stood on what the Bible truly teaches, that salvation comes by Scripture alone, grace alone, faith alone, for God's glory alone. And that's where the Protestant Reformation, that's where we are today, right? That breakaway from kind of the Catholic Church that was like, this is what you have to do to be saved. This is the stuff that you have to do. We broke away in the Protestant world. We broke away from that, right? And this is where we are today. That's the five solas of the Reformation. That word, that they used it from the Latin, alone, right? It's the core truths pretty much we stand on. It's the core truths we stand on as believers today. They summarize what our faith is built upon. They remind us that everything we believe flows from God's word alone, which is amazing that we have that. And it's all illuminated and brought into clarity by the Holy Spirit, who the Bible says is our teacher as well. The Holy Spirit is our teacher. I love those. This is a good refresher of where we're at in our faith and what we should hold on to. And it's that, number one, it's they say, sola scriptura, right? Scripture alone. Number one, scripture alone. And that means the Bible alone is our highest authority for faith and life. It means that all church traditions, teachings, and experiences that we have, they must align with God's word, not the other way around. And we get that from 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 16, that says, "All scripture is given by inspiration of God, that the man of God may be complete, thoroughly equipped for every good work." It's a good scripture. And we also have two, sola fide, which means faith alone. Faith alone. We're justified, we're made right with God by faith alone, not by works. Salvation is received through trusting in Christ, Christ and his finished work, not by earning it through good deeds. Thank God for that. All right. I'm glad that it's through faith alone. And we get that from Ephesians chapter 2, verse 8 and 9, when Paul writes this. "For by grace you've been saved through faith, not of works, lest anyone should boast." Praise God. There's nothing to boast about, right? And then the third one is a sola gratia, grace alone, right? We're saved purely by God's grace, his unearned favor that we have, not by anything we deserve, but grace is the foundation of salvation from the beginning to the end. Where do we get this from? Romans chapter 11, verse 6, many others, but this is just one example. "And if by grace then is no longer of works, otherwise grace is no longer grace." So it is by grace, and it is by our faith in the Lord, right? And then number four, this is a solus Christus, which just means Christ alone. It's the fourth solus. Jesus Christ alone is our mediator. He's our savior. He's our redeemer. So that means no priest, saint, or human effort can bring us to God, only Christ's sacrifice and resurrection. That just eliminated a lot of other religions right there, right? But this is what the Bible says. And we see that in John 14:6, one of my favorite scriptures where Jesus says, "I am the way, the truth, the life. No one comes through the Father but through me." Every other religion acknowledges Christ to some degree. Jesus is the only one that does not acknowledge anyone else. He says, "I'm the only way." And so finally, the fifth one, this one's pretty, so it's called sola Deo Gloria, or in other words, basically in the glory of God alone. It's the last one. All of life, salvation, creation exists for God's glory, not man's glory. Every good work, every gift, every breath should point back to Jesus. It says it's him, it's him. And it says this in 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 31. Whatever you do, do all to the glory of God. All to the glory of God. So, in summary, basically, salvation is by grace alone, through faith alone, in Christ alone, according to the scriptures alone, for the glory of God alone. That's what we stand firm on. And the Holy Spirit brings this to our attention. He's the Holy Spirit who brings this to our attention. So, but the amazing thing about the Holy Spirit is that he doesn't just dwell in us, as we're reading in the scripture in John 14, doesn't just dwell in us or abide with us forever, like it says, or bring us salvation or convict us of sins and point us to Jesus, which are all these things that the Holy Spirit does do. He doesn't just change our character and convict the world of sin and righteousness and remind us of the things of Jesus. He actually takes things a step further. He gives us gifts. And gifts to use for his work and his glory, which is amazing. Good works, this is something that we can get confused by a little bit. I have gotten confused by so many times. Good works are not the requirement for salvation, as a lot of religions will say. Just work hard, do things good, you know, and you'll get saved. Good works are not the requirement for salvation, but what good works are is they are the result of salvation. So once we're saved, we want to do good for God. Not we got to do good for God to get saved. He saves us, and in that overflow, we say, "I want to do." There's good works set aside for us to do as in gratitude for Him in love. So the Spirit not only changes your character, He equips you with gifts to serve others. And what kind of gift, right? A gift is a special ability God gives through His Holy Spirit for a specific purpose, and it's to build up His church. It's to build up the church. We're all different, working for the same kingdom. All different, used differently. And 1 Corinthians 12, it actually lists several gifts, which are, there's different, a lot of stuff. This is a whole thing in itself, but we're just going to, this is obviously just a quick overview. 1 Corinthians 12, and let's look at a few in Corinthians. And in this context, Paul was communicating to the church in Corinth that they said that we're all different body parts made up of the same body, the body of Christ. So all of us here, this is literally a picture of it. We're all different body parts. We're all different people made up as one body in Christ, given gifts and things to do, right? He actually emphasized the importance of all of our gifts and how each of us contribute in our own way to the church. It's a beautiful thing, the diversity in gifts, the diversity in personalities, the diversity in all these things, right? That's why Jesus says, every tribe, nation, and tongue is going to worship my name. It's every tribe. It's all of us, right? So we're designed by God as individuals. He wants to use us for his purposes, and he wants to empower us with his Holy Spirit. That's what he wants to do. Again, not to do good works to save ourselves, right? Because we can think it gets real slippery there. Not to do good works to save ourselves, but to do good works for God and his purposes. So 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 28-30 says, and God has appointed these in the church, first apostles, second prophets, third teachers, after the miracles, then gifts of healing, helps, administration, varieties of tongues. Are all apostles? Are all prophets? Are all teachers? Are all workers of miracles? Do all have the gifts of healings? Do all speak with tongues? Do all interpret? But earnestly desire the best gifts, and yet I show you a more excellent way. So we see gifts of teaching. We see gifts of encouraging, giving, we see gifts of showing mercy, leading, helping, praying, and all those things. Mercy is that's a gift there too, like the gift of mercy. And I know Pastor Chris talks about that one of his gifts is the gift of mercy. And we definitely see that fruit, you know. It's amazing to see the different gifts, things that God has in all of us to use for building up his church. And so we see that. We see all those different gifts. Every believer has at least one gift. You know, we all have something. I know, and you might be thinking, I don't have one. What? You know, but the Spirit lives in you, right? The Holy Spirit lives in you. He's given you something unique to bless the body of Christ, each one of us. And these gifts aren't for showing off, right? But they're for showing who Jesus. They're for showing Jesus. It's not the X-Men. Would it be cool? But it's not anything like that. And they're not meant to draw attention to us, but they're to point people to him. This is what he's given us. The gifts are tools. The fruit of the Holy Spirit is the testimony of our lives, and both come from the same Spirit. They work together. That's what they do. So this is a good prayer. I just encourage you to pray this. Holy Spirit, this is a good prayer. Holy Spirit, what gifts do you have for me to use? Speaking to the Holy Spirit directly, for God's glory, what gifts, Holy Spirit, do you have for me to use for God's glory? Holy Spirit, help me walk with Christ in my character and conduct, right? Open my eyes, illuminate the word. Holy Spirit, empower me for your work. Guide me in this life. Praying, Holy Spirit, help us. Empower us, fill us. And if we pray these things, he does answer, right? He will. And he does. And he has. He has answered. Fruit, having like the fruit of the Spirit without gifts, that can make you quiet and kind of like, in good character, but maybe ineffective. And gifts, you could have a lot of gifts that the Lord's given you these gifts, but without fruit of the Spirit, it makes us loud and immature, There's no character behind it. But when the Holy Spirit grows both the fruit and gifts in our lives, the church becomes powerful and the church becomes healthy. The fruit of the Spirit, the character of the Spirit, all these things, right? And it's true, character, good character and all these things that the Lord is doing without a calling could be incomplete. We can feel incomplete with it. A calling without character is dangerous. I'm called, I have all these things, but no character. That's a dangerous thing, right? That's why love, the first fruit, is what we must guide every gift with and starting with. So if you serve, right, we do it in love as the Holy Spirit leads. If you preach or teach, you do it in love as the Holy Spirit leads. If you lead or if you give or if you pray, we do it all in love because the Holy Spirit always glorifies Jesus, not us. It's the Holy Spirit. So this is a big question. Amongst this idea and this teaching and of the Holy Spirit and who he is in our lives personally, how do we walk with the Spirit every day? Right? That's the big question. How do we do that? Galatians chapter 5, verse 16 says, I say then, walk in the Spirit, and you shall not fulfill the lusts of the flesh. So, to walk means to take one step at a time in the same direction. It's literally every day. It's not a sprint to the end. It's a steady, daily rhythm of obedience to the Lord and surrender to the Lord, not perfectly, but every day, right? This is our Christian lives every day. It's a day-to-day surrender to God, obedience to God, walking in step with him. We fall down. We fall backwards, we roll down the hill, we get up, and we keep going forward. It's perseverance, it's endurance, we walk through storms, we get hit over the head, we run the opposite way away from God, we fall down, we get back up. That's the Christian walk, to walk in the Spirit. And that's what we're doing. So you walk in the Spirit by starting each day with prayer. Holy Spirit, lead me today. Holy Spirit, lead me today. Jesus says tomorrow, don't worry about tomorrow. It has troubles of its own. So let's just start with today, right? Holy Spirit. Listening when he convicts us. We got to listen to the Spirit. Obeying when you have those little small prompts that the Holy Spirit, it's obeying him, trying to listen to that voice. Staying in God's word, which we just went over all the solas and the seriousness of scripture and all that. Staying in God's word, it's the full authority. No matter what anybody says, or they open the Bible and they start talking about the Bible, teachers, pastors, whatever, check the word of God. Is the word of God, what does the word of God say? That's why I like when a Pastor Chris does, I think he said that a few times where he's like, okay, this is an interpretation for me. Don't get against the scripture for it. If you can disagree with what I'm saying about it, but remember the scripture. And that's really good. And it's just, we have that authority, all of us, to be able to, in our the scripture, to read it for ourselves and to let the Lord speak to us, right? The Spirit is gentle. He doesn't push us, but he prompts us. He doesn't push us over the little cliff, but he will prompt us, and he will talk to us. And the more we slow down and listen, the clearer his voice becomes. Romans 8:14 says, "For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, these are sons of God." So if you're led by him, you're his child. That's identity. It's not performative, right? It's not a performance. It's an identity. And I remember when I first got saved, I had no idea who the Holy Spirit was. A lot of you know my story. I'm not going to get into it, but just briefly, I had no idea. I was 24. I never stepped into a church. I was living on tour all over the nation, music, all my whole life. Never stepped into the church. Would not be able to tell you what a Holy Spirit is, what Jesus, the Bible, anything. And that night when I got saved by one guy, that Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes through the Father but through him. He told me about Christ. He preached the gospel to me. When him and his pastor and them, they led me to the Lord. We prayed together. I just stood there on the driveway, and I said, "All right, we'll pray." They laid their hands on me. They prayed. I don't know what I said. "I repent. Fill me with your Holy Spirit." I said that. I didn't know what I was saying, though. I said, "Fill me with your Holy Spirit, God." And in a split second, I knew Jesus was God. And I was filled with joy, and I couldn't explain it. Now, that's a radical testimony, right? We hear stories where I was stealing cars and killing everybody, then I got saved, Saul to Paul. But what's a real powerful testimony is a lot. Also, what I think what gets kind of maybe not highlighted a lot is being raised up with the Lord. So I've heard people that said, I'm almost positive I came to Christ at 9 years old. There's people that have come to Christ at 9 years old, 10 years old, and they're walking with the Lord today. There's people that had, obviously life is like this, but there's something powerful about being able to have Christ reaching you. We all come at different times. But I bring that up to say the Holy Spirit is real. He is real. He's working in our lives today. Either if a 9-year-old, there's not even an 8-year-old kid can be filled with the Holy Spirit and transformed, right? A 95-year-old could be filled with the Holy Spirit and transformed. Like there's, just like Jesus talked to Nicodemus and he said, "The Spirit blows where he blows. You must be born again." And so there's something so powerful about the Holy Spirit. We just have to, we can trust that he knows what he's doing. God knows what he's doing. And he's going to save people, right? When I had the youth ministry in LA, we had all these teenagers. And it was like, I don't want to teach Christian lifestyle to a bunch of people that aren't saved, right? Follow God, do all these things. They go, "I don't care." They need to be born again, right? The Holy Spirit needs to literally fill them and be born again. Once we started saying, "Gospel, gospel, gospel, Jesus Christ, Jesus Christ," and kids genuinely, by God's work, were coming to the Lord, but the power of the Holy Spirit was transforming their lives and doing a move, then we talk about what does Christ say to do? And now all of a sudden you have 14-year-olds that are like, "Yeah, let's walk with God. What does that look like?" Because the Holy Spirit's in them because they were born again, right? Born again. That's a miracle by God. But this is the work of the Holy Spirit, and it's amazing to see, right? And that's what it is. Acts chapter 1, verse 8. I didn't know anything about scripture, but when I first got saved, this scripture came to my mind. I don't even know how it came there. I was just like, it just stuck with me. I don't know anything about the Bible. Acts 1, 8 says, "You shall receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you," Jesus says to his disciples, "and you shall be witnesses to me through all Judea, Samaria, till the ends of the earth." Powerful. And that word power simply means ability. The Holy Spirit gives you, gives me, gives us the ability to live for Christ and to speak for Christ. So when the disciples received the Holy Spirit, they literally went from fearful hiding to fearless or standing for God, right? Peter, who we all know, the apostle, who literally denied Jesus on several occasions, stood before thousands of people and preached boldly as they came in Acts chapter 2 when people came to Christ, right? The same one who ran away hid, he's standing firm, right? That's the Holy Spirit. The same Holy Spirit that was in the apostles and the disciples that sent them out is the same Holy Spirit that lives within us today in the modern era that we live. And it's really wild to think about that. He gives you the boldness to stand for truth. He gives you the boldness to stand for courage, to share your faith and the compassion, to love people. All these things are from the Lord and from the Holy Spirit, right? And so maybe this is another thing too. We're all in different seasons. Maybe you're thinking, "Okay, I feel empty. I feel weak. I'm dry right now. I'm lukewarm," right? I don't have the zeal that I once did when I was filled with the Spirit. I had all the zeal and fire. Now I'm lukewarm, right? I don't know. Maybe that's it. That's exactly where the Holy Spirit does his best work, right? He does his best work in us like that. He doesn't fill the already, I'm strong, I got everything going. The Holy Spirit doesn't do that. He fills those that surrender. I'm dry, I'm weak, I got nothing. Holy Spirit, fill me. That's what he does. He fills those. He doesn't empower the proud. I'm good. I got everything together. No, he empowers the humble, right? He exalts the humble He exalts the humble and he, I'm looking at Terry. Yes. Yeah. Something like that. Paraphrase. He humbles the proud and he exalts the humble. Something like that. Dang, butchering scripture, that's not it. James 3, some of you wish not to be teachers. Stricter judgment. That's on me. thanks for the grace and mercy of the Lord and the Holy Spirit, though. He empowers the humble, right? You might not always feel the Spirit, but you can trust his promises. It's not about feeling all the time. Feelings can be deceptive. We go to the movie theater and we get scared, to a scary movie, or we get sad and we're feeling real emotions to fake things that aren't even real. So if we can feel that real emotion to something that's not real, then that means our emotions can't be trusted, because we can feel real emotions to fake things. But the Holy Spirit's not always feel, but the promise of God is true that he's here and he's with us and he's there. So remember in verse 16 in our primary text, John chapter 14, Jesus said he would abide with you forever. That's the one to highlight. That means even in your lowest moment, he hasn't left. He's your comforter. He's your counselor. He's your teacher. He's your strength. Even when you don't feel like he's there, he's there. He is the Holy Spirit within you, within us. And that's the presence of God living, breathing, and working through your life. I remember when I first got saved, I was so confused about who Jesus was. Is he the Son of God? Is he God? What is he? I was confused. Like, is Jesus God? Is he not God? Is he a good teacher? Is he probably? But I got saved after the whole time that the Holy Spirit filled me and stuff. But I got really, like, confused. And this is another reason. This is another thing the Holy Spirit will do in our lives. I was so lost on, like, what is? And I asked God. I said, God, who are you? Jesus, who are you really? And I was in the scripture reading the Bible, and I was reading in John, and I had the little prompting. I can't be the guy that goes, and the Lord said to me, because I don't know, but there's the prompting that I have to look at the Gospel of John, and it was when Jesus was standing at the edge of a cliff, and all the Pharisees were surrounding him and basically questioning who he is, and they picked up rocks to, like, you know, they were just surrounding him, and then he said, I am. And I remember reading that in the New Testament. He says, I am, I am. And they picked up stones to kill him right there. They said, I am. And I said, why are they so offended? He just said, I am. He didn't even say anything. He said, I am. He didn't finish the sentence. And they picked up stones to throw at him to kill him, because they said it was blasphemy, because he's claiming to be God. And then I got the prompt to say, turn to Exodus chapter 3. I don't know where it came from. And I said, whoa, what? I turned to Exodus chapter 3, and it was the burning bush, where it's set to Moses, where the Lord says, I am. He says, who should I say that sent me? I am. And I realized in that moment, Jesus, with scripture, the Holy Spirit opened my eyes and with the scripture, and he showed me very quickly, and gently, I'm God. Remember? Jesus, I am from the Old Testament. I'm the same. And I said, and it brought complete peace and clarity to me at that time. Yeah, so he's the Holy Spirit within us. So here's the call today as we wrap up. We got to stop trying to do life in our own power. We can't do it. At some point, we got to just say, man, I can't do this. We try, we do our best effort, but we got to stop carrying what only the Holy Spirit can carry in our lives. We can't do it. We got to get to that point. And let's invite him again. Holy Spirit, fill me. Lead me, grow your fruit in me, use your gifts through me, help me walk with you every day. This is the prayer. When you let the Holy Spirit take the driver's seat, you'll find strength you never had. And this is what he does. Peace you never knew you could access, joy that we don't even understand, that doesn't even run out. Just joy 24/7. He gives us through the hardest times, he's there. Life is pain, life is suffering, life is loss, life is heartbreak, yet Christ and his Holy Spirit strengthen us, right? Ever since the fall of humanity in Genesis chapter 3, we live temporarily in the aftermath of that event. That's where we are. But the Holy Spirit, the helper, the comforter, it's him, right, who we must call on to live our Christian lives. And he'll be there. It's true. We've all heard at least bits and pieces of this before. I know we have different stuff, but it's very true. We got to be refreshed and renewed and reminded in the best way, and that's in this way. So call on the Holy Spirit every day. He will guide you and all of us in our Christian lives. So let's pray and we'll wrap it up. Well, Father, we thank you for sending the Holy Spirit, Lord, our helper, our comforter, God, and our teacher. And Lord, we ask you today to fill every heart again, Lord, where there's fear, we ask you that you bring peace and comfort, God. We love that you know who you are, Lord, and what you've done in our lives. Where there's weakness, God, we just pray for strength, God. We pray when there's any kind of confusion, we pray for clarity. And Lord, we pray as your church tonight, help us walk in the Spirit daily, bearing your fruit, living out your power. In Jesus' name we pray this. Amen. Amen.